Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And it is Friday. We want to welcome you to the Refresh radio program. My name is Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. And we are looking forward to this Sunday. Would like to invite you out here in the month of June. We've had quite a few things going on. We've had a number of people who've been traveling. Our piano player is they were traveling for several weeks, and then we had the special gathering choir. And by the way, pastors, if you might be listening, if you have not had the special gathering, you may want to have them come out and minister. You will find some of the purest saints that just love Jesus and love to worship. And it's always good for our congregation to have them. They were celebrating a baptism at the church, and then we had Father's Day. And so this will be the first Sunday in a few that we haven't had something special that was going on. And we'll hopefully have, most of our regulars there. And by the way, I want you to know we celebrated our 73rd anniversary here a few weeks ago. Now, I know that one of the things that a lot of churches do, there's a couple of different things. One is you can get stuck in museum mode, and that is you never change anything. And we are not there. There's another temptation, let me put it that way, and that is that you move forward and you completely abandon all things of the past. And that's not where we are either. So when we came, there were pews, but the pews were all broken, or almost all of them were broken, and we repaired them and repaired them and repaired them, and finally we had to change. But we always valued the things that previous generations had done. And so through the years we've had a number of services. They're not alive anymore, so I can't do that. But a lot of the pastors for like our 45th anniversary, our 50th anniversary, we invited those pastors to come back, and some of them came back for the 45th, but they weren't able to come back for the 50th. Now we're at the 73rd, and I've been there for 32 years, and as far as I know, there's only one spouse of a pastor that is still alive besides my wife and I. But we always looked at it and say this: we're thankful for the saints that built the sanctuary. We've put a lot of work into getting the sanctuary back to where it needed to be. Roof wise and electricity wise and all of the air conditioning wise and things like that. And we had to move forward to chairs instead of pews because our sanctuary gets used for a lot of different things. And But we didn't abandon the past. So if you ever visit from the past, and we had some visitors here a few weeks ago, and unfortunately I only got to talk to them for a couple of minutes before service, and I didn't get to show them, you know, around the facility and show that we still have one of the very first pews, not the pews that were there when I got there, but one of the very first pews that had been handmade. We insisted on keeping that, and it is positioned in our area where our baptisms take place, and that way there's a place where people can put their towels and things like that. But we wanted to keep that legacy with the past. And so when the pews that were put in the late 50s, we didn't want to just throw those in the dumpster or anything like that. We repurposed them, and we fashioned our altars. We built our altars out of that. We built some of the furniture in my office out of that wood, because we treasure the things that have gone on in the past while still pressing on for the things that are ahead. And so if you're one of the saints that is out there and you attended Merit Assembly of God in the past, we honor you, we salute you, and we thank God for you, because if you had not done what you did while you were attending, then there would have been nothing there for us to work with when we got there. And so for all of you who, and I know a number of people moved on to other churches, and some other people might not be in church, and some have been promoted to heaven, but I just wanted to come on the radio and say thank you for your faithful service, and I pray that you would continue to pray for us as we continue to serve God and continue to hopefully lay a foundation that will continue the ministry of Merit Assembly of God until the Lord shall return. So Sunday morning, 10:30, 165 North Grove Street, we would love to have you come and be a part of what God is doing. I want to take you to Ephesians chapter 6. We're going to dig into that. I'm sorry I took a little longer than that. I just wanted to make sure that I gave honor to whom honor was due. In Ephesians chapter 6, verse number 10, it says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places." Verse 13, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." So as we're looking at this topic of being people of prayer, verse number 13 is where we're going to pick up today. It says, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. So, first of all, this is the second time that we have been told to make sure that we have implemented the resources that God has given to us. So in verse number 11, it says, put on. And here it says, take up the whole armor of God. And so the responsibility for utilizing the resources and making them active instead of just available, that is our responsibility. And so as you go into this weekend, I want to encourage you to avail yourself of the resources that God has given to you. And so we're going to describe those different elements of the armor of God as we go on here. But I want to focus for right now on the purpose of that. And so up in verse number 11, it says, put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand. You'd have the ability to stand against the wiles of the devil. We've already talked about that. Here it says that you may be able to withstand. And that withstand, you know, when I think of that, I think of kind of like the storm is coming and you want to make sure that the house that you have built is going to be able to withstand the wind and the rain, and you've taken care of the outside landscaping to make sure that your house is not in jeopardy from falling limbs and things like that. You pulled in all of the things and so that you can withstand the storm, and you kind of go into hunker down mode. That's a Oklahoma expression for you. Hunker down, you know, that you just huddle together. I have a friend, he talked about a situation that he found himself in one time, and there was a group that he was with, and being treated in a very physically rough manner, and he just said, guys, let's huddle together, let's hunker down, and we'll just get through this together. And I've never forgotten that story. But we put on the armor of God not as a passive act, but it as we avail ourselves of the resources that God has provided to us and we implement them into our regular lifestyle. And that while we do that, that it gives us an ability. It is something that God works, and the word there is from dunamai. It's, you know, the same family of words from which we get dunamis, that we have the ability, that we have the power, that we have the capability, that when everything is said and done, that we are not only going to be able to stand, but we will be able to withstand. And you say, well, what is the difference there? Well, you know, like I said, if we look at it in English terms, it kind of gives us, or at least it gives me, the mental picture of hunkering down and just surviving the storm. But the word in the Greek language means to actively oppose or resist. I have found that a lot of Christians approach their spiritual challenges in a couple of different ways. They, first of all, they're relatively passive about it. They're just kind of hoping that something good is going to happen And so a person had told me at one point in time that when they began their spiritual journey, and really they hadn't even gotten saved yet. They just had a conversation with someone, and they said, well, you know, you just kind of hang around the edge of the pool, and eventually you're going to find yourself falling into the pool. And so you put yourself in the neighborhood, and eventually you just kind of find your way in. Well, that's kind of passive. The concept that we hear or see here in Ephesians chapter 6, when it says that we take up the full armor of God that we might be able to withstand, is we have the divine ability, not in us, but that it is imparted to us by God, to be able to actively oppose and resist in the evil or dangerous day. And so our faith is not meant to be put on display just whenever we gather inside the four walls of the church. It's supposed to be on display in advancing the kingdom of God, and we're not here defending territory. We're here taking territory from the enemy. Jesus said to Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And a lot of times when we think of that, again, we think of something that is built and that we're defending it. But if you look at that, it doesn't say the gates of the church will hold up. It says that the gates of hell will not prevail. Gates swing on hinges. They rise up or come down depending upon the design. And so you see that it is the kingdom of darkness that is the kingdom that is supposed to be under attack. And so the armor is not given to us strictly in a defensive manner. It is given to us so that when evil is on the scene, that the people of God rise up and say, God has equipped us and given us the ability. We will see victory today over the forces of darkness. So, like I say, a lot of times people are hoping something will happen. So prayer is very strategic. Okay? It is talking to our commander-in-chief. And the commander-in-chief that we serve is never at a loss for a strategy. So whenever we are praying, it should not just be about, oh, it's so good to hear your voice. I feel so much better now that I know that you're safe. That's okay for prayer, but prayer in spiritual warfare is also about finding out what God's strategy for this battle is, so that as we submit to Him, we can oppose the devil and he will flee. Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. You got to make sure you get that first step in there. It's not just about resisting. It's about, first of all, bringing yourself under the assignment and the strategy that God has for you. And when that happens, then you're going to be able to go out and say, okay, what's the action plan? Let's go forward with what that plan is. So, what is What is your strategy from the throne room that will enable you to be able to actively or resist the forces of darkness in the evil day? What's the plan that God has given to you? Because it's not just hold out till the very end. That used to be a philosophy back in in the 1950s or the 19s. Just hold on. Just pray for me that I'll hold on. There's enough of that. The church needs to move out of the complacency era and out of the, well, I'm comfortable and that's all that matters. And we need to say, you know what, God, you didn't call me to a life of easy. You called me to a life of holiness. You called me to a redemptive purpose. And God, I want to be active in the strategy that you have for me. So if you're going to be able to withstand, you're going to first of all need to say, okay, God, what is it that I need to adjust in my life so that I am living actively seeking the kingdom of God and your righteousness, knowing that everything else will be added unto me? What's that strategy? What's your strategy for seeking God? What's your Bible study plan look like? What does your time allocation look like? What is your financial commitment look like? What is your evangelistic plan that God has that you can not only share the gospel of Jesus Christ with your family members, but with others that you impart? Because God has a plan, and you and I need to be very active in doing that. And so because most of us have this tendency to want to be liked, my hand's raised. I wish that everyone liked me. I was born a compliant child. I was the firstborn, but I was the compliant child. I didn't like getting in trouble. I didn't like disappointing my parents. I didn't like any of that stuff. I wanted everybody in school to like me. Now, I wasn't going to do everything that people did just to make them like me, because I wanted God to like me more than I wanted people to like me. And I learned in retail that I wasn't going to be able to convince everybody, and I have proven after decades of ministry that a lot of people aren't gonna like me. And so if you don't believe me, come visit Merit Assembly of God. You'll see that there's lots of room for people who do like me. I wish that I could keep people from moving away, but I want to have raised up disciples while people have been with me, and we've raised up dozens and dozens of disciples and people who are scattered throughout the world and throughout churches across America, that they got discipled at Merit Assembly of God. And if that's my legacy, when everything is all said and done, then I'm going to be happy about that, because there's going to be people who will not be overcome by the forces of darkness, but because they had a development in the Word and in prayer and in ministry, that they've been able to advance the kingdom of God. They were actively opposing the advancement of a godless agenda or an ungodly agenda, and said, nope, we're going to see Jesus glorified. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Whenever we take on the armor of God and make it a part of our reality, of our identity, of who we are, that we are going to be able to actively oppose and resist in the dangerous, and when we have done everything that the crisis demands. That's what the word or the two words are, and having done all. So the done all, that means everything that the crisis demands. So I pray that your relationship with God, your prayer time, that it becomes more spiritually proactive than spiritually reactive. A lot of people say, oh no, something bad's happened. Let's press forward and let's get through this crisis. And then they forget that that last crisis is only the last one until the next one comes. And so a lot of people go on spiritual vacation in between crises, and that's going to leave a lot of bumps and bruises. It's going to leave a lot of collateral damage in relationships and health and things like that, mental health, spiritual health. And I just encourage you, be proactive about it. And so because a crisis, I developed this lifestyle a long time ago. How many times do you want to go around this mountain? And I said, God, I only want to go around it one time. There's a couple of projects that we've had to do repeatedly. And I said, let's do this in such a way that we don't have to do this again. That's my strategy. And the end result of, and having done all, having done everything the crisis demands, that at the end of the day, you and I are still going to be standing. We are still going to be standing with Jesus. We are still going to be standing in faith. We're still going to be standing with the saints. We're still going to be standing on the promises of God. We're still going to be standing victorious as more than overcomers through Him who loved us. That's why God has given to us the armor, so that it is implemented, it becomes part of who we are, and it doesn't matter what the day brings. We are still going to be saying, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. So I pray that you will make your prayer life a lot more proactive. God, I don't want my best years to be behind me. I want my most fruitful years of ministry to be in front of me. And so I pray that you'll have a plan to be in the house of God this Sunday. If not Merit Assembly of God, someplace else. But for all of you who have ever been a part of Merit Assembly of God, we want to say thank you for all you did. Pray for us as we continue at Merit Assembly of God.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is a friendly, knowledgeable, active, and accessible real estate agent here in Brevard County. Keller Williams is known for real estate services all across the world, and Whalen specializes in helping buyers purchase the right place to call home, as well as helping sellers market and negotiate the sale of their single-family home, condo, vacant land, or business. Whalen Duff can be reached at 321-536-5973 or visit whalenduff.kw.com. Realty.com. Whalen Duff with Keller Williams Space Coast Realty is your local realtor who provides all you need and